Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We rejoice. We rejoice and we are glad for that precious blood that flowed from Emmanuel's veins, came and washed all our sins away. Thank you for your precious body, Lord Jesus, that you took upon yourself as God in the flesh, to be willing to be that lamb that was led to the slaughter, but kept your mouth silent. The one who would be bruised for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace would be upon him, and by your stripes we are healed. Thank you for taking the punishment for us, for bearing all of the wrath of God for us. We're here on this Communion Sunday to receive the body and blood of Jesus. Receive your body and blood, Lord Jesus, because that's what you told us to do, to remember what you've done for us. So as we receive the body and blood of Christ today, may your heart be our heart. The passion that you had to implement and institute communion for us, may we just grasp it with our heart and with our mind. May we feel your intensity, your passion for what you were about to do for us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So why do we take communion? Simply because Jesus told us to do it in remembrance of him. Amen? That's a good reason, right? So I thought the Holy Spirit said it would be good for us in order for us to understand why our Lord and Savior told the disciples and us to eat his body and drink his blood to remember him, it'd be good for us to go back to the scene where Jesus actually implemented or instituted the first communion meal with his disciples. So listen to these wonderful words of Jesus that he spoke to his disciples as they celebrated his last Passover. This was his last Passover meal. You'll see that when we read the text. Before he instituted the sacrament of communion that we get to enjoy, not only just the first Sunday of the week, but I believe the heart of the Lord is that we wouldn't just do it on the first Sunday of the week at Word of Victory Church, but that we would start doing it more and more, that we would spend time with him every day. I know some of you do it every day, but that we would spend time with him every day, breaking bread with him, receiving his body and blood with him, and focusing on what he did for us, obviously to forgive us of our sins. But when you do that, it helps you learn really what he accomplished for you as a believer with new life in Christ. So I believe there's a really powerful, powerful, intense time of intimacy there that you can only have in your time with the Lord if you have communion with him before you get into the word and prayer. So I believe that's the purpose of the message today, to get us to start, those of us who aren't doing it already, to start practicing that more. Don't just do it once a month here, although it's good for us to do it together, but to do it individual. We know that it was important in the early church. In the book of Acts, it says what? That they gathered daily and broke bread daily from house to house. So they made it a purpose to take communion every day in their services from house to house when the church was first born. So I believe that it's important that we do that. There's a special, special meaning that Jesus had. Obviously, that's why he gave us communion. We're going to be in Luke chapter 22. So remember Luke chapter 22. We're right at the point where it says in the beginning of Luke chapter 22, I'm not going to read it, that the chief priests and scribes, they're all gathering together, plotting, how can we kill Jesus? But they're trying to plot and make sure they do it in a way that it doesn't cause a riot, because remember, it's the time of the Passover. So there's millions and millions of people in Jerusalem preparing for Passover. And a lot of them have come to see Jesus, or because they've heard about all the awesome works that he's done. So they have to do it very carefully. At the same time, it says in the beginning verses that Judas goes and talks to them and says, hey, I'll come up with a plan and I'll hand him over to you. And it says, these chief priests were excited about that someone had come and was willing to do that for them. Then Jesus told Peter and John, go find a room for us. It's a really awesome story. He actually tells them, go into Jerusalem. You're going to see this man carrying a water pot on his head. Follow him to his house, to the house that he goes to, and then tell the master of the house, the master is ready to have his Passover here. And of course, happened exactly the way Jesus told them it would happen. They went and found the man, and he ends up preparing the Passover meal for them. And that's where we'll pick it up, where Jesus is now with the disciples getting ready to have the Passover meal right before he's ready to suffer and die and have his body broken for us and shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins and to sign the new covenant. We're going to pick it up in verse 13, Luke 22, verse 13. They went and found it just as he had said to them, and they made ready the Passover supper. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, listen to the words he says to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Fervent desire, with intense desire. I mean, just, can you catch the heart of Jesus? He knows that he's getting ready to have his body broken. The wrath of God poured out upon him. He's going to be bruised for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, have the chastisement, the punishment for our peace poured out upon him. And he's intense. He's saying, I've waited to do this with you. I've intensely longed to do this, have this meal with you. That's powerful. That is so powerful. This is his passion. How long had he waited to do this, to have this meal with them? Well, 3 years he was with them, but before the foundation of the world. He knew this before the foundation of the... That's a long time to wait. Yeah. No wonder he was so intense, right? With intense desire, I've desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. So Jesus says, I'm not going to eat the Passover meal again until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. For centuries, Jews had celebrated the Passover feast, commemorating the glorious deliverance from Egypt, when the blood of a lamb painted on the door frames had saved their firstborn sons from death. Which we know that event foreshadowed what Jesus would do on the cross when he would shed his blood for us. How vividly, just think about it, this must have all come before the mind of Jesus as he sat down with the apostles to keep the feast for the last time. He didn't say it would be their last time to keep Passover. We know that the Jews, Orthodox and Messianic Jews, still celebrate Passover, Pentecost, unleavened bread. They still keep it. But Jesus said it would be his last time that he would celebrate it with them until it was fulfilled in the kingdom of God. He was the true Passover lamb whose blood would soon be shed for the salvation of all who would trust in him. As the spotless Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. His blood would be spilled in order to save us, his people, from the penalty of death, which was brought on all of us because of sin. As I shared this Passover, this particular Passover, right before Jesus would suffer and die on the cross for us, for our sins, held inexpressible meaning for him. And he had so intensely desired it before he was to suffer. He would not keep the Passover again until he returned to earth and set up his glorious kingdom. The construction, as I said, with fervent, with intense desire, he desired. Means it was, he was eager, he was passionate, he was longing to do this with them. If you think about it, those amazing words reveal to us how much Jesus longs and desires, intensely desires, to have communion with his people. And how much he longs for us to come to his table with him. Like I said, make it a habit. Try to make it a habit to spend more time at the table, the communion table, the table of grace, I call it, with Jesus daily now. It was important to him that we understand why he said to do this in remembrance of me. Jesus literally couldn't wait to institute communion. So we would always look to him on the cross to remember how much he loves us, what he was willing to do for us, as a way to encourage us to learn, know, and understand what he accomplished for us through his body and blood when he offered his life as the perfect sacrifice on the cross. Jesus is telling them at this time, when he's sitting with the apostles, look, this is an important time of transition. We would say it's a major shift in our terminology today, our Christian terminology. It's a major transition from the old covenant to the new covenant. He was telling them that it's all right for you to celebrate Passover to commemorate my glorious deliverance of you from the slavery of Egypt, but I'm about to do something radically new. I'm about to implement the new covenant. I'm about to seal, to authorize the new covenant with my blood that will remove your sins forever so you can be in my presence at all times and in the presence of the Father in the Holy of Holies at all times forever. Why? Because I long to have sweet communion with each one of you. I'm about to use my body. I'm about to give my body as the lamb led to the slaughter who opened not his mouth. I'm about to give my body to be bruised for your transgressions, crushed for your iniquities. I'm going to give my body to take the wrath and punishment of God so you can have what? Peace. I'm about to have my body striped, ripped open so you can be healed. I'm about to pour out my blood, first of all, for the purpose of authorizing and signing and sealing the new covenant. But also, mainly, it's the only way your sins can be forgiven is through my precious blood. In Old Testament times, we know that God agreed to forgive people's sins if they would, what, bring animals for the priests to sacrifice. That's what they were doing. Everybody was doing in Jerusalem. They were there to get the Passover lamb. They would take it to the high priest. They would slay it for them. They would prepare it for them. Then they would have the meal that Jesus is at with the apostles right now. But remember, when the sacrificial system was inaugurated, how was the covenant sealed and signed? Remember what Moses did? The covenant between God and his people was sealed with the blood of animals. But animal blood did not, in itself, cannot remove sin. Why? Because only God can forgive sin and remove sin. And animal sacrifices had to be repeated day after day and year after year. Hence, that's why they went to Jerusalem for the Passover year after year after year. Jesus, though, instituted a new covenant, or he authorized the new covenant, the new agreement between God and his people. And how did he do it? With his precious blood. The only way it could be done, it had to be signed, cut, sealed, delivered through the blood of Jesus. But under the new covenant, Jesus, not a little spotless, cute little lamb, would die in the place of us sinners. He would die in our place. He would be our substitute. Unlike the blood of animals, his blood, because he is God, the blood of God would remove sins of all of us who put our faith and trust in him. Jesus' sacrifice would never have to be repeated ever again. Remember, wouldn't have to be day after day, year after year, like the old high priest. Jesus' sacrifice is what? Once and done. Once and for all. It would be good for all of eternity. You can see that in Hebrews 10, verse 10, and verses 19 and 20. It says this from the Easy Read version. Because Jesus did what God wanted, this is Hebrews 10, 10. Because Jesus Christ did what God wanted him to do, we are all purified from sin. We're all sanctified. We're all purified from sin by the offering that he made of his own body once and for all. It's done. It is done once and for all. Therefore, and then verses 19 and 20, therefore, brothers and sisters, now we can come boldly, or we can come completely free. We're completely free. We have access now to enter the most holy of place, to come to the throne of grace, to come into the Father's presence, to come into the secret place of the Most High. We can do this without fear. Why? Because of the blood sacrifice of Jesus. Not only because of the blood sacrifice, but it finishes and says, now we can enter through a new way that Jesus opened for us. He didn't just do it with his blood. It says he opened it for us. It's a living way that leads through the curtain, which is his body. His body and his blood. Thank God that Jesus has delivered us from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin. And in his glorious millennial kingdom, when he comes back to set up his kingdom on earth, he will deliver us from the presence of sin. Thank God. So he says, here, this is how I want you to remember what I'm about to do for you with my body and blood. I'm just going to read it again, Luke 22, 19 and 20. He took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, gave it to them, saying, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, which is given for you. So we take the body of Christ, we receive the body of Christ because we know that his body was broken for us. We know that he bore all of our punishment, all of our iniquities, all of our diseases. By his stripes we are healed. Amen? Then he said, this cup, I just love this. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Matthew adds, is shed for you for the remission of sins, for the removal of sins. I'm going to sign the new covenant, the awesome new covenant for you, which means your sins are completely removed, completely forgiven. I'm going to pour out the Holy Spirit upon you. I'm going to give you the, not only deliver you from the penalty of sin, but I'm going to give you the power of the Holy Spirit to have power over sin in your life. So that you can obey my word, you can read my, so you can have true fellowship with me 24/7. Intimate relationship and fellowship with me. The new covenant. And thank God, he removed all of our sins from us. Past, present, and future. The Lord Jesus simply instituted the sacred memorial we call communion, so we would always remember his love for us, know in our hearts what he accomplished for us through his body and blood when he died on the cross for our sins. And then thank God the Holy Spirit has given us all the written word of God, especially the New Testament, because that's important to us when it comes to the body and blood of Jesus, because it's filled with the truths that tell us not only what Jesus saved us from, but why he saved us, what he accomplished for us through his body and blood when he died on the cross for our sins. So we can not only remember how he saved us, but why he saved us and what he saved us for. So I'm going to, in honor of the prophecy that was given about Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians, I'm going to give some examples from the book of Colossians of what Jesus has done for us through his body and blood. We're going to start with Colossians chapter 1, verses 20 and 22. There are at least three books that I know of that specifically mention what Jesus has done for us with his body and blood. Ephesians chapter 2 is one. I'm not going to read that today. But Colossians 1, 20 and 22, and Hebrews that we just read, Hebrews 10, verses 19 and 20. But we're going to read from Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 20 right now. I'm going to be reading from the Easy Read version, just because I like the way that it emphasizes and it makes it really easy to understand what he did for us. Through the Son, then, God decided to bring the whole universe, to reconcile the whole universe back to himself. How powerful is that? God made peace through his Son's what? Blood on the cross. We were aliens. We were enemies. We were his, totally separated from him. But through the blood of Jesus, we can have peace with God. And so brought back to himself all things. Listen to this. I think a lot of times we just think about ourselves and what he's done for us. But when Jesus made peace through his blood on the cross, he reconciled everything back to God. What does it say? Both on earth and in heaven. I don't think we ever kind of think about that, that there were things messed up in heaven that needed to be reconciled. Not only us, not only his people, the things on the earth, but he reconciled everything on earth and in heaven. At one time, you were far away from God and you were enemies because of the evil things you did and thought. But now, thank God for the but nows in the Bible, amen? But now, by means of the physical death of his Son, God has made you his friends, made you his children. Why? In order to bring you holy, pure, and faultless into his presence. Those verses right there specifically tell you what Jesus accomplished with his blood and with his body through physical death. But we're not going to stop there. Let's go to chapter 2 of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 13. Here's some more that he accomplished for us. This is why we take the time to spend time receiving the body and blood of Jesus to understand really how powerful it is and what he's done for us and how he just longs to be with us. Colossians 2, verse 13. You were spiritually dead because of your sins and because you were not free from the power of your sinful self. Sinful selfishness. But God gave you new life together with Christ. He's given us a new life together with Christ, and he's forgiven all your sins. Hallelujah. Why? Because we broke God's law, we owed a debt that listed all the rules we failed to follow. But God forgave us of that debt. And how did he do it? He took it away and nailed it on the cross. Communion is all about seeing what Jesus, realizing and understanding what Jesus did for us on the cross. When he had his body broken, ripped open, not only on the cross, but all the way to the cross, from the time the trial began, from the time of Passover, when he instituted communion, all the way through to the time he died on the cross, what he accomplished for us. And then I love this part right here. He defeated and disarmed all the rulers and powers of the world. Look, doesn't matter. Some people say, well, he's talking about government, earthly authorities there. Some people say he's talking about spiritual. I say he's talking about all of them. He's talking about both of them. Anything rebellious, anything that is evil, that was against Christ, he has completely disarmed them. He has defeated them and disarmed the rulers and powers of the world. With the cross, he won the victory over them. We have won. He is lost. They have lost. Amen. All of them. He defeated and disarmed the rulers and powers of the world. With the cross, he won the victory over them and led them away as defeated and powerless prisoners for the whole world to see. Evil no longer has any power over the children of God because Christ has disarmed the rulers and powers of this world. Disarmed means what? They have no weapons. He's disarmed them. They have no power. Their weapons have no power. And guess what? We have the promise that even if they try to form another weapon, what? No weapon formed against you will prosper anyhow. Amen? You can get all of this revelation and understanding by spending time in communion, sweet communion with Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Communion's not, and remember this, but communion's not just about our fellowship with God and with Jesus, but it's what? It's about our fellowship together with each other as the body of Christ, which is, again, what Paul talks about in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, chapter 10, verse 10. Colossians 3, verse 10. Paul says, now that you're wearing your new life, now that you learned how to put on the new man every day, and you're growing in your understanding of the one who made you, you're becoming more and more like him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Greek or a Jew, circumcised or not. It doesn't matter if you're a slave or a free, rich or poor. Christ is all that matters, and he's in all of us. God has chosen you and made you his holy people. He loves you. Hallelujah. So then Paul says, so your new life should look like this. Show mercy to others. Be kind, humble, gentle, and patient. Don't be angry with each other, but forgive each other. If you feel someone's wrong you, forgive them. Forgive others. Why? Because the Lord Jesus forgave you. Together with these things, the most important part of your new life is to love each other. Isn't that awesome? He says, because love is what holds everything together in perfect unity. I love that translation. Love is what holds everything together in perfect unity. Let the peace that Christ gives control your thinking. Very important. It is for peace that you were chosen. Listen to this. It is for peace that you were chosen to be together in one body as the body of Christ. Communion together. Peace together. And always be thankful. Let the teaching, listen to this. What are we doing today? Who are we studying? Whose teaching are we studying? Jesus's. Let the teaching of Christ live inside you richly. That's why. Why does Paul say that? Because that's where you're going to get revelation. That's where you're going to get freedom. That's where you're going to get understanding. Use all wisdom to teach and counsel each other. Praise God, we do that here in Word of Victory Church. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. We love to do that. Everything you say, then Paul just breaks it down and just brings it right down to the bare bones. Everything you say and everything you do should be done for Jesus Christ your Lord. That's our goal, amen? And in all you do, give thanks to God the Father through Jesus Christ his Son. Amen. So we've spent the time focusing, learning about why Jesus gave us communion and just learning what he's accomplished for us through his body and blood. So let's have the ushers go ahead and pass out the body and blood of Jesus. Is Jesus awesome or what?
Amen.
He is awesome. Is the Holy Spirit awesome?
Amen.
Amen. And Father God, you are awesome too. We praise you and we thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for communion. Thank you for giving us a way to remember what you've done for us with your body and blood. The power of it. To spend more time. Lord, help us not to spend more time doing it. I know I don't practice it every day, but I want to start doing it every day with you in the morning time during before my devotions. Lord, help us to do it more often with you. You gave it to us because you had a passion that we would understand. And Lord, when we spend time focusing what you did for us with your body and blood, not only forgiveness of our sins, which is the key issue in the signing of the new covenant and bearing the wrath of God, but what you all that you've accomplished for us, there is such wonderful, glorious power in it, and you'll teach us so much. So again, Jesus, we thank you for your precious, precious body that you took upon yourself, that you were bruised for our transgressions. You were crushed, I mean crushed, torn apart for our iniquities. The punishment. You took the punishment. You literally took all the wrath of God so we could have peace with God on your body. And your body was striped, ripped open so that we could be healed spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally. We could be made whole completely. We thank you for that. And your precious blood that you shed for the forgiveness of our sins, to redeem us and purchase us back to God, and especially to sign, to endorse, to authorize, and put the new covenant into place for us. Thank you so much for your body and blood, Lord Jesus. We praise you and we worship you. Hallelujah. Paul says in Corinthians that he received of the Lord that which also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, which we read about, the same night that Judas betrayed him, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let's receive the body of the Lord together. How sweet it is, how sweet it is. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. After the same manner, also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me, because it's the only thing that can cleanse your sins away and give you full access to my presence. Let's receive the blood of Jesus together. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for purchasing us, redeeming us with your precious blood. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus, thank you for signing the new covenant, inaugurating it, and authorizing it, and making it available to us with your precious, precious blood. We give you all the glory and give you all the praise. Holy Spirit, begin to work and move in each one of us. Move in this place. Flow in this place. And Father, we give thanks and praise to you, God, our God and Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because for in our union with your Son Jesus, you've blessed us by giving us every spiritual blessing there is in the heavenly world through his body and blood. You chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before you in love, living in your love. Father God, you had already decided that through Jesus Christ you would make us your children and give us new life. This was your pleasure and your purpose, and it is awesome and marvelous, and we thank you for it. We praise you, Father God, for your glorious grace, for the free gift that you gave us through your dear Son. You made peace through your Son's blood on the cross with us, gave us forgiveness of sins. It's in him we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins. And by the means of his body, through his physical death of your Son Jesus, you've made us your children forever. You brought us into your family. You've made us your friends. Why? So we could come into your presence, in order to bring us holy, pure, and faultless into your presence. Hallelujah. And Father God, we have all these spiritual blessings. Why? Because of the riches of his amazing grace. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. And now we're going to worship you because you are worthy of all praise. In Jesus' name, amen.